step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 522. I am Lisa Sheps, and we are joined once again and finally by Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
And Miss Rebecca Melanson.
Hello.
Bonjour. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We're streaming this live at koop.org. Stick with us.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Be the hero of your story if you can.
It is Wednesday, June 26, 2019. On the show today, we have Shoot Productions, Shrewd Productions, and their production Macbeth and her pal Megan. Also, Keen Productions will be on a little later to talk about the voices of Donny Hathaway. Stick with us. We will be right back.
Hey, what if I said I met a giant?
All right, we are having some technical issues again. Surprise.
Whenever I'm back, the gremlins come back.
No,
with me.
We've been having some technical issues. Because we like to show the way the sausage is made here, Joshua, I want you to grab that microphone by this thing right here and pull it up to your mouth. Great. So, Nicole Shiro, I'm checking in with you. How are you?
I'm here. I'm good. How are you? I've missed you.
I've missed you, too. We're happy to have you back. It's going to be good.
It's going to be exciting.
It's going to be good.
And
Rebecca Melanson, let's check in with you.
I'm fabulous. How's the rest of the world here today? Everybody fabulous?
Top of the morning to you, Rebecca.
All right.
Everybody's good. Let me introduce the people here in the studio with us. The person that I admonished on how to operate a microphone just a moment ago is Joshua Sanchez. Hi, Joshua.
Hello, how are
Welcome
you?
Welcome to the show. Have you been on the show before?
No, I have not.
You have not. And then we do have returning champion Evan McQuaid.
Oh, thank you very much.
And Robert King Jr.
Well, hello, hello, hello. How's everybody doing today?
Very good. Robert, have you been on the show before?
I have. It's been a while, but I have been on the show before.
That's what I thought. Rebecca is going to help you adjust that microphone while I talk to Miss Nicole Shiro about her goings-on last week on this day.
Oh, yeah. So a lot
Or actually on Tuesday.
A week ago Tuesday, mm-hmm. Yes. So I went to the Houston. And
the Houston?
The Houston.
Okay.
And I saw a man called the Hugh Jackman live in concert on his big, the music, the tour, the show that he just launched. He kicked off the U.S. date.
Okay. I'm going to take a tangent here. I just realized we were talking before in the lobby, and you were saying that he pronounced Houston, Houston, and I did not get it till this very moment.
Yes, he kept calling it. It's his favorite town. He's so excited to start off the U.S. tour in Houston.
Yeah, and get I totally it? Didn't get it till this very moment. But I'm chum. So was
Hugh
it?
Hugh Humor.
Because that's his name. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hugh
yeah.
Humor.
Just in case so, other people out there.
Was it worth it? Did you love it?
Oh, absolutely. I was this close to him, to Eva dancing the whole time. And then he hugged this woman in front of me. I could have knocked the row over. But I didn't want to be in the news.
Did he sing anything from any of his Broadway happenings?
Yes. So basically, it was the Hugh Jackman on Broadway show that he did a couple of years ago at the Bonhurst.
HJOB, we call that.
But on steroid sports arena style with all of Les Mis and Greatest Showman added to it.
You didn't like the Greatest Showman.
No, but are you ready for this? He made me like it. I can't stop singing the show because that movie was painful and I know I'm a...
It was painfully wonderful.
It was painful. No, it's bad.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, at one point on the drive home, my brother looked at me and goes, I have to tell you, I don't want to lie, I was kind of hoping in a moment Zac Efron was going to pop out. I was like, me too! It was that guy. They don't make performers like that anymore that have everything.
Now, after me, they stopped.
He expanded his Wolverine section. He tap danced to AC/DC. It's just, What can't he do?
Okay.
Whoa.
Crochet.
But I'll let you know all about it again because I'll be at the closing U.S. tour in October for San Antonio.
Well, wonderful. So I'm... Lest we have to continue to talk about Hugh, I love the idea of tap dancing to AC/DC.
Did Van Halen, AC/DC. Right. It was a whole little, it was great.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Lovely. Wolverine. Never seen him play Wolverine. Don't watch the superhero stuff. So,
Wolverine is good. You should.
Last Monday night was the Jimmy Awards.
Yes.
And for the very first time, they streamed them live on both Facebook and YouTube. And it is available right now to watch on Facebook. And so that is something worthwhile to folks to see. So we're going to welcome somebody else into the studio who just came here. It is Candace Bellamy. Candace, step up to a microphone and say hello.
Hello.
Hello, welcome. Okay, now we're going to just continue what we were doing. So the Jimmy Awards had their award ceremony. And for those that know about Austin stuff, it's the national version of the Greater Austin Musical Theater, High School Musical Theater Awards, which we talked about last week. And there were three Texas high schools represented there. Unfortunately, we did not win top honors.
No.
The top honors came to for the they still split these up genderedly, and I think that one day we're going to have to stop saying actor and actress and just say actor, and that covers everybody. But anyway, for now it's male identified and female identified. Ethan Kelso from Logan, Utah, who won for his performance in Big Fish, and Big Fish.
I love
it. Do you love it?
Good. Yeah.
Did you see it?
No.
Oh,
I mean, I love the movie. I've seen stuff about it, you know, but yeah.
Okay. That's fair enough. I love that. I love that you love
honesty.
It. And I cannot pronounce this name, Ikili Ukibu, which I think is close.
I was like, I think that's close.
She is from, oh my God, where is she from? Hold on, I wrote it down here. Because it's not in this.
Midwest?
She is, I didn't write where she, anyway, she did, she's in the performance of Aida, the Elton John version. Hold on, it's, she's from a little place, oh, never heard of this place. New York, New York.
Oh! Yeah. Where's that, Lisa?
Ben Platt was the host. And it's a wonderful thing. I looked at a little bit of it. Did you watch any of it? Anybody? Jimmy Awards?
No.
Okay, it is available, like I said, still available to watch on Facebook, or as I like to call it, the Facebooks.
The Facebooks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can see all the nominees. You can also go to the Jimmy Awards website, which is jimmyawards.com, oddly enough. You can download the playbill. You can see a view of all the nominees. We just talked about the best actor and actress category, but they have loads of categories like best imitator of Lisa Sheps.
Remember when they did that PBS series and they did the little docu-series and followed them
all? It wasn't
a
series. It was just one. It was a document.
I feel like there was two or three episodes.
I think there was only one, but yes.
Yeah, but I'm like, why? I think it was two or three. We're going to disagree to disagree.
No, no, but we talked about this.
I'm going to look it up here and we're going to settle this.
We talked about this last week, so let's not spend a lot of time on it.
No, but I'm just saying, I wish they would do that again. It was really cool.
Well, yeah, I'm going to guess that they probably think they already, because it was highlighting what the Jimmys are.
Yeah, but it was following all the different kids in the week of, and they're, guess true. What? Different every year. They get older.
That's true. So, as happens...
It's the circle of life, Lisa.
It's a circle. Do you want to see this movie?
Yeah, I do, but I don't understand why
Eva's
they call
shaking
it.
Her head,
I don't
which
understand
work
why
on
they
the radio.
Call it live action because
it isn't live action.
Animation.
It's not live action.
Thank you.
It's a lie.
It's a lie.
It is a lie.
I'll probably still watch it.
It looks beautiful, and I'd like to see it, but it's not a live action, so stop calling it that.
Rebecca, do you have an opinion?
No.
No, she says no.
And let's just face it. Every time you start hearing the music, and you're like,
goodbye.
And you cannot stop but feel joy.
Yeah.
Your whole heart is Hakuna Matata. And yeah, see, I just, there's something
you know,
about
it. Means no worries for the rest of your days.
Yep.
It's a problem-free philosophy.
Okay. I don't even know what show we're talking about. So we have a load of unfortunate closings. And I want to talk about the first one.
I can't can't believe how many all of a sudden.
It typically happens after the Tonys, but some of these were just unfortunate. Like the prom is closing.
Yep.
So the prom, as we know, has a big local connection. But it's closing on August 11th at the same time your show, King Kong. I think it's sort of fun.
Yeah, I'm surprised that lasted as long as it did.
As well as the Cher show. But let's hold. Let's talk about the prom for just a little second. Robert King, you look like you wanted to say something.
The Cher show, I'm just...
All right, we're going to get there. You just hold your thought. You just hold your thought. So the prom is closing August 11th. They will have run... Stand by. I've got to find it. I know it's in here somewhere. 23 previews and 310 regular performances. They have been running at an average of 50 to 60% of maximum gross. Just not a lot. You can't sustain yourself. It costs $13.5 million to produce it. Don't think they recouped.
No. That's probably just the bow ties.
But the interesting thing with the prom... It's probably
maybe
just the
not.
What?
Just the bow tie budget. I don't know.
Maybe.
Petticoats?
So a couple things are happening with the prom. It's going on tour.
Yes.
Right away in February. Well, right away. February 2021. To some people, that's right away.
That's pretty quick.
But it also has a Netflix movie deal that they're going to do. Ryan Murphy is the producer, and they have announced casting for it, which is pretty amazing.
Was
Did you see any of this?
The full cast? I thought it was just like a few...
Not full cast, but a whole bunch of people. Hold on, I don't have it in
we
the
We call
right,
that a slew of people.
Right order, but Meryl Streep.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Hold on. Nicole.
Gonna start it off slow.
Meryl Streep, Nicole Kidman, Keegan-Michael Key, Andrew Reynolds. Reynolds, I can never pronounce his name. All sorts of people. Where'd it go? And James Corden as Barry Glickman. And that actually, I just heard on my way over here on a podcast I listened to, that is under fire a little bit, especially from the LGBTQ community, because he's playing, the character is a rather flamboyant gay man, and a straight man is playing him. And then I said, well, you know, and Ryan Murphy, though, who is, he's the king of diversity in a lot of ways
there
right now, was the one that made that choice. But then in this podcast I was listening to, they said some of the choices they should have had. And one of them was, oh my God, I just lost his name.
What'd you do?
Oh my gosh, describe him.
African-American man. He was in the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Titus Burgess.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. What a great choice that would be. But they also talked about, because James Corden's age isn't right. It's got to match Meryl Streep's age. But they said Sean... Sean Hayes. Thank God I have you guys here. And there were some other...
You're welcome.
What's his name?
Well, how do you know that they weren't?
He was
asked
in the producers. I don't know.
Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane. Thank you. But all these. But I mean, Titus Burgess would be not only an incredible talent and not only an incredible person for that role, but checks all the boxes.
He's just about to do something else on Broadway, so there might have been a scheduling conflict.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to call him. I'll see him when I get home later today.
Just quickly speaking, and I'll find this and send it to you, but speaking on this casting and where you go, David Sedaris did a little piece about that, a little short three-minute piece about... How do we cash? Yeah, and he did it on CBS Sunday morning, and he was wrapping up like, should we be casting people who are LGBTQ or have a differently abled body? And he was talking, and it was, I will send it to you.
Please
because
do.
It covered. Love- yeah, he went from both sides of the coin. I was like, oh, you made me still think. What do you do?
Yeah.
So another one that's closing is Be More Chill. And Be More Chill has such an amazing story behind it. To refresh people's memory, it opened at a small theater in New Jersey. It did not do well. It closed. They didn't think anything was going to happen with it. But they uploaded stuff onto YouTube and the fans spoke. And they did an off-Broadway production, which sold out. They moved.
Such a good performance.
Pardon me?
Michael in the bathroom.
Did you see it? Get right up on that microphone.
Oh.
Michael in the Bathroom.
You saw it.
Oh, I mean, I didn't see it, but I listened to the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there were a lot of people that did a whole bunch of fan videos with Michael in the Bathroom.
You know, Tiffany Mann is in that show. Tiffany Mann, I think she's been here with you before.
I don't know who Tiffany Mann is, but...
She's done a lot of stuff with Zach and...
Okay.
You've met her before.
All right. That's cool. I approve of that.
Lisa, be more chill.
So they also took a lot of heat James Corden took a lot of heat for doing the best part of the Tonys, which was James in the Bathroom, but did not give Be More Chill a nod during that. So never credited the performance. And it only got one nomination, which was for Michael Iconis. Michael Iconis? Is that the right name?
I think so.
Joe Iconis? Michael Iconis? Larry O'Connis?
It's that man. His last name is Iconis.
According to the Times, it's Mr. Iconis.
Mister. We call him Mister.
Sorry. He was nominated for a Tony but did not win. It will have done 30 preview performances and 177 regular performances. So now let's talk about...
It's one more trombone.
Out of the 76?
No, it's 101. I meant to say 101, but you get it. Sorry, never mind.
It was good.
You're with me. Good.
I even made the trombone sound effect for your joke.
So...
Where have we gone wrong today?
So, in this room, at least two people I know saw, each of these people saw one of these shows, King Kong and the Cher Show, both closing on the same day.
Yes.
I think, again, August 11th.
Yes.
King Kong...
again, can't believe it's still open at this point, especially when I saw by January they were like $40 seats.
True. And they were, but
I'm going to tell you,
and they capitalized at $34 million to produce that puppy.
I know why people kept going. Yeah, but the puppet was so cool.
Oh yeah, it was. Oh, I saw the production, like on the videos of it.
So amazing.
Yeah, but watching the video, I went to go see the puppet. I knew it was going to be awful, and it literally was worth everything. And then some. That puppet. Wow. Broke barriers and it was over 25 feet.
Mm-hmm. Did they get nominated for anything for the puppet this year?
It got its own special Tony.
Mm-hmm. It did.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It did. And deserved.
Totally deserved it. It was just spectacular.
When does that happen for me?
Very, very soon.
Thank you.
So hold on just a second. I'm just getting something in from our fact checker. Yeah, they're saying they did not. This did not capitalize at $34 million.
Oh.
It capitalized at $36.5 million. I'm sorry to King Kong. Thank God we have this fact checker. So it was 20 feet tall, not 25, says the fact checker. Okay. Guess what King Kong tipped the scales at? Anybody?
Not even gonna guess.
973 pounds.
973. Do we have any other guests?
But you'd probably knock over and win the showcase.
I'll say 1,200.
Yeah, you're close. You win. Oh, well, now you won.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's 2,000 pounds. But I wonder if that includes the handlers that are like up on flying on the ropes.
No, it's just the actual puppet thing on its own.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's 10 puppeteers on stage, and then there's four other one that are phantom puppeteers that do the animatronics in the face.
That's amazing.
And when it roars, you're shaking in your seat. You're like vibrating so loud and so like, you're like, okay, hello.
Okay, this is good. Hi.
So it is going on the road as well. It will open in Shanghai in 2021. And the other thing is closing in again. Oh, wait.
Its final home will
be
Japan.
I'm sorry. My fact checker just said that I had said something erroneous earlier, that it's not closing on the 11th, but it's closing on the 18th. Both that and the Cher Show. Now, I saw the Cher Show in previews. I also, and one of the things I said was I didn't like it. But I also didn't like, and I am a big fan of her work, Stephanie J. Block, I thought, did not do a great job in this show. And then when I saw her performance on the Tonys, it sort of seemed the same thing. Wasn't crazy about her performance on the Tonys. Tony voters totally disagreed. She got a Tony for it.
Yeah.
Don't understand that.
I almost brought in the playbill because when she went last week, she still won't stop talking about it. And I'm like, Mom, you must have seen something completely different.
The Cher Show?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it did. Yeah, exactly. And my, I mean, my mom's not like, my mom's an educated theater goer and doesn't have odd tastes that I was not like, oh, okay.
My opinion was pretty much in line with what the critics said. Yeah. But again, I saw a preview. I saw it, you know, 2 months before it opened in New
York.
And
I do love Stephanie J. Block. I love her.
She was amazing in falsettos.
Bob Mackie's costumes, hands down, deserve that, Tony. Whoa.
Well, and yet, somebody said, and this is an interesting thought, I didn't think of it, these were all costumes that he had designed for Cher previous. So was he really, should he have been eligible for best costume?
They were not exactly the same thing. They were altered in a...
There were, instead of 1,000 sequins, it was 999
sequins. Yes. Oh, wow. Exactly.
So Cher Show also going on the road. It opens in Rochester in October of 2020 for my birthday. Yes, my birthday's
dun,
in October.
Dun,
my birthday's
dun, in October. Dun, 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 dun.
Your birthday's in October?
Mm-hmm.
What day? Mine too. 18. No, mine's the second.
I was like, she's at the very beginning of October.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going, shall we?
She's a liar.
We only have, you know, we only have a couple more minutes left, so I've got to decide what we want to talk about, what we don't want to talk about. We're not going to talk about that. Oh, just very quickly, Broadway Barks.
Yes.
Which has been around for, I think, 10 years.
That little Bernadette.
It's by Mary Tyler Moore and Bernadette Peters, started this fundraiser for adoption of dogs. It happens in Schubert Alley. Canceled this year because Schubert Alley is under construction.
I was about to say the Schubert's under construction, and Nick Mayo was a part of it for a lot of years doing that with.
Ah, speaking of Nick Mayo, and I totally thank you for reminding me.
Your name was in Playbill with
it. It was in there a couple of times. Yep. Pride Plays, which my name was attached to, happened this last weekend, and it was an amazing success for everything I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Okay. Oh, God. I want to talk about a couple
Lisa
more things.
Lisa sat on the advisory board. She wasn't just her name written in something.
And my name
was written in it.
So
let's just stop for a minute. let's really talk about what that's about.
Okay.
Your awesomeness.
There's a great... I'm not going to talk about this very long, but it's in the New York Times. There'll be a link to it on our show notes at offstageonair.com. But a whole bunch of visually impaired folks were invited to a production of Ink, the Rupert Murdoch show.
Mm-hmm.
And before the show, they were all invited on stage to feel set.
Oh, it's a touch tour.
That's pretty cool.
That's all sounds great, but when you look at the New York Times article, it has a picture of them on the set. I'm showing it to our audiences here, but the photographs are really, really wonderful. Wow. Here, this is for the listening audience.
So it's interesting because it's the Lion King does that on the Broadway tours. That's something that
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Hobby Center actually in Houston will also work to do that for a lot of productions.
You mean the Hobby Center in Houston?
Houston. Yep. It's never going to be H-Town again. They do it for a lot of stuff. So there are Tuts Productions and the other Broadway. But yeah, we had one with the line. It's so cool. I think it's so cool.
Also, very quickly, PBS is going to be shooting. Oh, the other thing about, sorry, I got to go back to Netflix, The Prom. This is something else they're doing a little differently. They're going to air this movie in theaters first and then put it on the Netflix streaming service. And the reason they're doing that is to make sure, because they took some heat from Oscar voters about whether they really qualify as being a film. Because
you mean they took some heat from Steven Spielberg?
Yeah, true. So anyway, PBS is shooting the current production of Much Ado About Nothing. Mm-hmm. The public...
so good. It is so good.
Did you see it?
Oh, I did not.
Josh was like,
I did not.
Joshua, you're killing me.
I did not
me.
Have enough money. But I did.
You could go. It's free.
It is?
It's in the park.
Who's you got to get all the way up to New
ticket,
York.
Yeah. Plane ticket?
But yes, it is.
Ms. Knight.
But anyway,
Ms. Knight might pay for it.
But anyway, they're going to shoot it for great performances. Don't know when it's going to air, but I'll tell you, one person I know will be watching it is me. And finally, before we go, just very briefly, the Off-Broadway theater company, the Transport Group, they've done it several times. Beth Malone in Unsinkable Molly Brown. And Kathleen Marshall is directing it. And it's got a revised book and lyrics by Dick Scanlon. And it's going to run February 7th through March 22nd at the Abrams Art Center. I'm going to learn to read and write. Okay, that's it. Hold on, I'm being quizzed about something. Oh, we have to fix this.
Because we moved the music around. What I was going to say to you is, Lisa, you and I went to that taping of Overheard with Evan Smith that we had Terrence McNally on. And that's going to be airing next month, but it's going to be online later this week.
Can't wait to see it.
I know. It was a really good interview.
So I should say that when we started the show, the song you heard that we heard out of order was Be the Hero from Big Fish, which is one of our...
It was Norbert Leo Butts.
It was Norbert Leo Butts, but it was in honor of Ethan Kelso. And now we're going to hear what we were going to play at the very beginning is from Aida, and I'm going to try to pronounce it one more time. Ekeli Ugubu. I don't know. From Aida.
You know what? Let's when go. You watch the Jimmy Awards, you can hear them say it. With the
sweeping. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
And Shiro Rebecca Melanson.
Sheps with some Melanson.
Okay, she's not going to say anything. She's not picking up her cues.
From the end with no mic. Hello.
We've had a great conversation with all of our folks. And we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk to Eva McQuaid about her show that she's doing right now for Shrewd Productions, which is called Lady Macbeth and Her Pal Megan, which is a one-woman show. Eva.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll
this
talk
is
to
your
you.
First foray into one woman show hood. Is
yes,
that correct?
It is.
Awesome. So how does that feel for you?
Oh, what a time. It has been terrifying and exciting. Yeah. It's I didn't realize, which is foolish of me, how much energy it would take to do I'm sorry, I didn't know these things. Okay, I see people doing their one person shows and I think, hey, look at that person, they're doing a good ass job. I'm sorry.
You're good.
And they're killing it up there on stage, and I think, oh, okay, you know, because they're professionals. And I tip my hat to those people. After every show I am just a complete ball of sweat and expended energy and calories, which is good because I'm probably losing a couple of pounds.
It takes a lot of energy to do a one person anything.
Yeah.
And you know, you're even if you weren't running around the stage, which you are.
I am.
It still takes a lot of energy.
But
so
would you have run into it going, yeah, let's do it, if you had been as like, oh, whoa, see, isn't it better that you just like we're excited, just going right into it.
Yeah.
And diving in.
Maybe so. Well, so diving in literally almost to like a pool of sweat.
So here's the deal. We're going to hear all about the show. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Joshua to give me a number between 2 and 52.
32.
32. Okay. We're going to see what 32 is. Let's go ahead and do it.
Hey, we're Comedy Sports Austin. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air. On KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM.
Do something funny.
Do something funny.
There you go, Comedy Sports Austin. That was 10 years ago when I did that, and they have gone away, and now they're back again.
Is that Les McGee?
That was Les McGee.
Oh, I love him.
I have seen him, actually.
I
don't think he's still around, though, is he? I have not seen him since...
Wasn't he just doing something recently? Yeah. I was like, wait, no. I was like, because I just was like, oh, Les, I haven't seen you in forever.
Yeah, he was. I saw him on the Facebooks just recently talking about his book, and I think it was like it's been some time.
That he wrote 15 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And
he brought it out
as
like
too,
an anniversary.
Though.
Anyway, yep. So.
He's doing something else.
Eva, your show, Lady Macbeth and Her Pal Megan, has a fascinating title. Is it about Lady Macbeth?
And Her Pal Megan?
Joshua, you love this show.
Man.
Don't
Joshua, give I just Josh, don't leave. Stay there.
Give me and Josh our own show. So
shows
it is
we haven't
in
seen,
a way
but seen at the same time. You know?
Have you seen my show?
I mean, it sounds interesting. It is interesting.
So it is in a way. It's about this. It was written by this woman named Megan Gogarty, who is a stand-up comedian and a playwright. And
I had her yogurt, by the way.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Go-gurty?
Go-gurty.
Very nice.
Go on, sorry.
I don't have a sound effect to add to that one.
they cannot all be golden. Keep going.
She was told by her best friend that she couldn't play Lady Macbeth, although it's a dream role for her. And so she feels very connected to the part of Lady Macbeth. She reads the play and she finds that she's very much like her, and she wants to be her, and she doesn't understand why she can't.
Now, I saw it last weekend and enjoyed
Thank
it.
You.
It's a lot of fun to watch.
Does Meg too have murderous, you know, intent behind her? You know,
in a way. I mean, one of the taglines is you were talking.
No, go ahead. Go.
Is evil, sexy, crazy, and it's a theme that carries throughout the show. And so she talks about how that occurs in her life, evil, and how she's sexy and how she's a little crazy sometimes. And So
the artwork does scream. Evil, sexy, crazy.
It does indeed. And what you've got in front of you is the actual the script. Can you show it up so that we can see that?
Yeah.
The audience can see that as well. There you go. Okay, great.
Your version is pretty good, though.
Thanks.
Did you change any of the... Because when I watched it, there's so much that just is screams Eva McQuaid.
I know. It's,
but is she... Are you of similar physical statures?
No.
Okay, because you are. I think people that know you know that you are vertically challenged.
Yes, thank you for saying that, and not short.
And you talk about that. The text talks about it. So
we changed a couple of things because she is a lovely, tall, blonde lady. We changed a couple of things to be more specific to me, but really it was just that, and then one other line that we changed. But for the most part, no, not at all.
Cool. Yeah,
and very. I feel when Shannon Grounds first asked me to read the script, I thought, well, so stand-up comedy and theater are so different, but
very
completely different, yet somehow so alike. So
I think when you put Shakespeare to it,
there's something
in the, I guess, that middle ground, maybe, that's a little bit of in between.
Maybe.
So we should say that, and I don't think it's a spoiler to say that the lead character wants to do stand-up.
She's a stand-up comedian.
She is a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
And for you know, and that is the overlying theatrical string that ties the whole thing together, along with the whole Lady Macbeth
character,
thing, which is great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how long is it? One act?
It's about an hour long. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Broken up into three acts. It's, you know, 5 minutes and then there's an intermission. 10 minutes, another intermission. I'm teasing.
You just stay all night long.
Three intermissions. Yeah. It's like a German opera.
Yeah. It's, from a time standpoint, it's perfectly palatable, which I think is important, especially for one person shows.
That's why I'm asking, because I'm like, whoa.
I have been to see some of the standard old timey one person shows that, like Bully.
Woman of Independence means.
When they are 2 hours long, I don't care who's doing it. It's difficult to watch.
Just Robert in the back. Wow.
That was Robert King. And Tony, you're welcome to be at a microphone and make those comments.
Robert, that was everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, except your microphone wasn't on. Now it is.
Okay, now it's like, oh, wow.
There you go.
Okay.
So we didn't talk about this ahead of time, so I don't want to put you on the spot. Were you prepared to do a little piece?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, great. Well, what are you going to do? Set it up for us.
Since there are some spoilers throughout the script, I'll just do the top of the show.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is Eva McQuaid doing a little piece from Lady Macbeth and Her Pal Megan, produced by The Shroots.
I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm ready to see it.
My name is Megan. When people find out I'm a comedian, like in conversation, oh my God, that sounds so scary. I could never do that. And I'm like, aw, I am superior. I should feel powerful from it, right? You get up on stage, you dominate, you kill them. Lately, I've been a little at sea about it. I feel restless. I can't sleep. Kind of like I swallowed a whole walnut. Oh, let me be clear. I don't have any real problems, okay? I am a middle-class lady with a master's degree, plus I've got this face. So, my big problem is, why don't people love me even more? The point is, I feel like I'm in the slump when I find myself having a conversation with my friend Alexis. Alexis is an acteur. And we are talking about our dream roles, parts we would love to play. And I mentioned casually, just throwing it out there, I think I would make a wonderful Lady Macbeth. And Alexis says, you can't play Lady Macbeth. What do you mean I can't play Lady Macbeth? She's a badass. I'm a badass. Could so play Lady Macbeth. Lady Macbeth is this sexy seductress. And... no, Lady Macbeth is this evil. She's carnal. Oh, you don't think I'm carnal? Oh, I can be carnal. I went to a party in 1998. Carnality happened. Oh, Megan, it's not personal. Lady Macbeth just isn't your type. What do you mean she's not my type? It's so obvious to me. What do we know about Lady Macbeth? She's evil. She's sexy. She's crazy. That's me. Megan, Lady Macbeth is a tragic figure of powerful darkness, and you're the human equivalent of a golden retriever. You don't think I can play Lady Macbeth? Megan, nobody thinks you can play Lady Macbeth.
Oh, awesome. Ooh. What fun. So the end,
that was awesome.
Oh, thanks.
And there in comedy ensues. So you're already playing. When do you close?
July 6th.
July 6th. Where is it being performed at?
At the Santa Cruz Theater.
Okay. And where can folks go to get more information?
Shrewdproductions.com.
Eva, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Best fortune with the rest of the run.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Awesome. That was Eva McQuaid with Shrewd Productions, production of Lady Macbeth and Her Pal Megan by Megan Cogarty. Running through July 6th at the Sand. What did I? What's it?
No. Cogarty? I was going to say Cogarty? It's not Gogurt. It's Gogarty. Yeah, Megan
is
Gogarty.
Is it with a G?
Yeah, it's with a G.
Oh, you know what? It looks like a
it's
C.
It's actually got two G's.
It looks like a C in the poster. Oh no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Not at all. Anyway, it's playing through July 6th at the Santa Cruz Theater. For more information,
thanks, Megan. If you're listening, she's a really lovely lady. Okay.
Shrewdproductions.com.
Very generous, kind. Okay, great.
First Adam laughed and held his rib while Eve made cracks on women's lips.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa, Nicole, and Rebecca.
Hello, it's the three balls.
And Joshua.
Yes.
And Joshua.
Hello.
You're going to have to capture some of these voices so we can, instead of playing our Law & Order sound effects, we can put Joshua in.
Exactly. Well, let's do a real quick local thing. Your microphone is on, kids, so just be aware of that.
Hello.
They were sitting there chatting, like, thinking nobody was listening to them. And we were listening to them.
That's what we were talking about.
Very quickly, because I don't have I want to make sure we get enough time for Donny Hathaway. Locally, we have the Hyde Park Theater is opening. What's his name? Lucas Nates, Death Tax at Hyde Park.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. More information, hydeparktheater.org.
Do you have the history?
Yeah. But did you want to talk about anything else before we get
to that? No, we were moving along. Okay. I was about to do the...
Well, and now we're going, so do it.
I was going to do the song. You do got it. The history? Today in theater history? What happened, Lisa?
Today.
History.
You guys are cracking me up.
Today I'm
not history. Much. Unfortunately, a lot of people died today, so it's going to be kind
of... Yesterday was my birthday, and a lot of people die on that day, too.
Yep. So, there you go. So in 1975, George C. Scott stars in Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. He also directed it. It featured
George
Teresa
C.
White,
Scott.
Harvey Keitel, and Jane Ferrantino.
That is a crazy cast.
Well, and you know, whenever anybody does Death of a Salesman, they usually win the Tony. And I believe he won the Tony.
I think he did.
Dustin Hoffman won the Tony.
I think he did.
Philip Seymour Hoffman won the Tony.
Yes, I believe he did.
Maybe I think
we
Death
had
of a Salesman,
this.
Honestly.
There you go.
Joshua won the Tony.
I mean, I did at one point.
Did you see it?
Did I see it? That is the true question.
So here's, I'm mentioning this one because I don't really know who Luke Perry is.
For real?
Other than I'm told.
Are you kidding? He just passed away.
Literally.
Wait, he died?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. He did die. I don't know what that is, but I'm guessing that's Beverly Hills 90210, which I've never seen. But he also was in the Rocky Horror Show on Broadway. Did
yes,
you know
he
that?
Was wow. because he came in afterwards for Jared Emmett, and that was the version that I saw with the Dick Cavett, and we had Joan Jett was playing Columbia. Okay, she played
it.
The guitar.
Got it. We got it.
Yeah,
we
it was
got it.
Really
we got
good.
It. Okay, moving on. Boy, mercy.
You would have 90210 in my head all day. Thank all you,
right.
Lisa.
So, well, I'm going to get it right out because we're going to talk about a whole bunch of deaths right now. Ira Eaker is the first person to die in the state in 2002. He was in Tamarack, Florida. He was 80 years old. And you know him because he's the co-founder and co-publisher of Backstage.
Ah, I was like, why do I know the name and I can't?
Yep, that's, there you go.
That is very interesting.
This is also the death anniversary of Nora Ephron.
Aww.
And also the death anniversary of Mary Rogers, daughter of
Richard
Rogers, and composer herself. Can you name the show that she composed?
Oh, I don't remember offhand. But
Carol Burnett was in the original. It was revised. What's her name? From Sexist? Yes. Yes.
What's
I just
really?
Lost. What's her name's
name? You know
name?
Why?
What's her name?
We've got an opening Thank you. For a princess.
Anyway, that's it. That's today in theater history. The aforementioned Sean Hayes is his birthday today. He was born in 1970.
Bon
that just makes me mad. Yeah. Too young. All right, let's hear a little bit of Once Upon a Mattress. Let's talk about how Sarah Jessica Parker is a rather shy and quiet girl.
I've always been shy.
We are back.
It's the ladies
because
Wednesday
we are so
afternoon.
Shy. So when we were playing that piece from Once Upon a Mattress with Sarah Jessica Parker, somebody said, was it you, Robert?
No, of course not. It wasn't me that
didn't
said
know that.
That
she could sing. And she starred alongside of her husband, Matthew Broderick, in How to Succeed in Business. Didn't she?
She was in the original cast of Annie, people.
Yeah. Like, and she was in the original cast of Annie.
Way back when. Like,
because everybody
the
knows
70s.
That if you had a voice at age 8, it will carry on through age 28. Anyway.
Andrea McArdle still has a career.
She does.
So, you know, what are you trying to ditch? What are you trying to, like, get all on Annie for?
I what love Annie some Sarah you? Jessica Parker. I watched every episode of Sex and the City. She just sold a bunch of her shoes, though. By the way, into the
Did
microphone.
You watch both movies, though? Because that is the commitment that you really
Yeah, are. I watched the first movie.
It's
I
been on a
there
lot
three.
Lately.
Weren't there three?
No, there just were two. There was talk yeah. of a third, but
yeah,
they didn't
so then
make
I
it.
Saw both movies. But if there were a third, I would not have
it
watched it.
It went to hell in a handbasket when so it came
the
to
the movies. The movies were not as good as the TV show. Anyway, let's talk to Robert King Productions, King Productions, and the voices of Donnie Hathaway, Ooh. Who I continually want to say Danny Hathaway, but
do you really?
But I do, and that's I don't know why. So, Robert, this is a reprise. This is a remount. To this
yes.
show. And tell us about it.
And thank you, Lisa. She gave us actually our first opportunity to present the show last year to Austin at Ground Floor Theater.
That's
thank
right.
You.
We did it at Ground Floor.
Yes. We that was, I would say, more of a workshop production of it. We were still trying to get things in order and kind of get it to what it needed to look like. But now we are to that point to where we're ready for the big production.
Okay, so this is a full-blown production.
This is a full-blown
production.
Had
it gone through, because you wrote this.
Yes.
Not the music.
I didn't write the music, no.
So did you go through a considerable amount of changes between the time you did it as a workshop and now?
I definitely did. I could see where the holes were in the show, what needed to be filled in, and some of the characters that I think needed more.
Just a little massage.
Yeah.
A little oomph, you know. Some.
Yeah, so I had enough time to do that, because that was that in 2017?
I don't know. Don't look at me. It was sometime.
2017?
It's
2018,
January. Oh,
okay. So I was like, I thought it was like spring beginning, but that's still over. That's a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Joshua, you are directing this piece.
Yes, ma'am.
Hats off to you for bringing in a director so you're not directing it yourself, because you're also in it.
Right. I tried the first time. It didn't
yes.
work.
Yeah. Yes. No, good for you. So how's the process been for you? Were you really familiar with Donnie Hathaway and his life prior to taking on this project?
I'm going to tell the truth. I barely knew Donnie Hathaway. Yep. But the songs that he wrote were actually pretty iconic, and I didn't know that. So going into it, I had kind of had like a very, very loose idea of who he was. But once I started looking into what he did and the songs that he wrote, I realized that, oh, he he was pretty influential, like on a lot of people's like musical backgrounds and stuff like that, especially Roberta Flack, Lala Hathaway, and things like that. And it's amazing to see his story like actually told, and specifically this point in time, because the show is based the night before he died,
right?
And so we kind of see what's going on through his mind. It's a very, Robert said, a very fictionalized account of what happened, because we don't know what happened. He went to the hotel and then he died. And so we don't know. So this makes up for that in some way and gives up some sort of closure into what happened.
Yeah, and it's set up as a conversation in many ways with your character, right?
No.
I thought it was your character.
With Pam.
It's set up with Pam, who's not here in the studio with us today. We actually have an actress flying in from Chicago.
Chicago.
To play the role of Pam this go around. Okay. The role was originated by Simone Murray.
That's right.
But it's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm.
Candace, who are you playing now in the piece?
I am Roberta Flack.
That's right.
So she is our angelic figure in the play. She's Donnie's reprieve from reality, and what she means to him is so much more. And it's amazing to see how
Wow, really?
Yes.
I mean, I hope so. So Candace, how is it for you to play? So again, we talk about performers taking on people from history, especially somebody as well-known and iconic as Roberta Flack. How was that for you, and how did you find yourself getting into that role?
Well, I'm a big fan of her music, mm-hmm. and so it was really a matter of listening to her music, looking at old footage of her, and really embodying who she is. We're very different singers. I'm a different singer from her, but being able to just put on that role and feel her vibes and her energy, and that was, yeah, so that was what it was for me. I love her. I think she's amazing.
Do you find yourself like totally absorbed in her when you're performing it?
I do, actually. Yeah, I just let go and become Roberta Flack for that time that I'm on stage.
And are you singing any of her, are you singing songs from her? Her canon of music during the show?
It's primarily duets.
Yeah.
Okay.
The closer I get to you.
There we go. Keep going.
Oh, no, God. The notes are high.
So you are playing Donny Hathaway.
I am.
And you wrote it.
I wrote it.
And this is your production company. Mm-hmm. What is it about Donny Hathaway and his life and his music touched you in such a way that you wanted to create this piece?
His story is one of those that gets kind of swept under the rug. It's untold. I've said before that a lot of times in our day and time, we as African-Americans brush suicide under the rug. And I think it brings it to the forefront because a lot of people didn't realize Donny Hathaway committed suicide. I mean, he took that leap from the 15th story of the Essex Hotel in the 70s. And a lot of people just kind of, okay, it happened and then let it go. Nobody really ever really dug into it. But I think it's shedding light on his life and what he was going through because he suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, which really he didn't want to take his medication. And that's what the show focuses on more than anything.
And so was it, so the idea of creating this piece for you was just about getting the word about around about this guy and then sort of pointing, shining a little light on mental illness and suicide in communities that we really, and probably not just the African-American community. Okay. In the 70s, it's like, no, suicide doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's
in general. But specifically amongst people of color and other disenfranchised groups. So that's an important thing. Do you spend a lot of time talking about those issues, or is it more about his life and legacy?
I mean, honestly, his songs, the way he presents his songs and the way Robert writes it, the songs kind of tell the story of like his own mental illness and what, because he puts his songs and like he puts his feelings into them. Because Donnie wasn't a very open person. He was a lot more shy, conservative person. But what he puts into his songs, the feeling that he puts into his songs really conveys that meaning of the helplessness that he felt and that loneliness that he gets on the inside.
Wow.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. There had to be, who was it that turned you on to the music that gave you this love for it?
I've always been a Donny Hathaway fan. It's just a lot of the songs that are in the show I didn't know were his. Like, a lot of the songs you hear other people perform and it's like, oh, okay. And then you get back to the root of it. And it's like, oh, that's a Donny song and I had no idea. So it's his music has always kind of been in the background. I just didn't know that he sung these specific songs.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So as I was looking at stuff today, I, some of the songs like "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother."
Right.
I have him singing that. We're going to listen to a little bit in a second. Did he write that?
He did not write.
Okay, I didn't think so. And the other one was the Elton John song. I'm singing my song for you.
Oh, a song for you.
Yeah. Did he write that?
I forgot what the guy's name is, but his last name is Russell.
Okay.
Leon Russell. Yes.
Oh, that's right. It was Leon Russell.
Yes.
You're right. Okay. So, all right. So you
Rebecca Malone out in the background there.
She just looks up from her work and
she
says,
just tuned in and she's all like maniacal laugh sitting in the big old chair spinning, Leon.
So you guys are in the middle of rehearsal now. When do you open?
We open July the 25th.
Yeah, so that's a ways away, but it's going to get there before you know it. And where are you performing?
At Mosaic Theater.
And where is Mosaic Theater?
Mosaic Theater is south.
Yeah, it's on Manchac, is it?
Yes, it's off of Manchac in the, what is the name of the studio? It's called, on the front it says Dance by Carling.
Dance by Carling.
Of the studio. Right.
We are in the back.
Yes, so you'll be able to find it by Googling it. I did, and I forgot the name of what it was, but it used to be on South First and Ben White.
Yeah, it used to be, and then we moved.
And then
we
moved south. Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. I'm looking so forward to seeing the show again.
It's going to be good.
And seeing what changes. And thank you guys so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you all for coming on.
Hopefully, some of you, I don't think you can join us for Backstage at Offstage. Candace, is that right? You going to stick around?
No, I'm not.
No, you're leaving us.
Yes, okay. I have to go back to work.
Oh, work schmirk. This is so much more fun.
Honestly, it is. It's very fun.
Okay. When I left, they were eating fried chicken at my job.
Oh!
Well, thank you guys again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Robert King Jr., Joshua Sanchez, and Candace Bellamy of King Productions' production of The Voice of Donnie Hathaway by Robert King Jr., playing July 25th through 28th at Mosaic Theater. For more information, I would search King Productions on Facebook, unless you have a webpage. You do not.
No.
So let's go out and listen to a little bit of Donnie Hathaway.
He ain't heavy.
I just love
Your
that song.
It's so good.
Oh, okay. Good stuff.
We're on the air.
Good stuff.
We are back. and I hear through the rumor vine that Robert King Jr.'s battery is low.
Oh. Last I heard it was on 5%.
You are quick on the info today. I don't know who you have tapped into your headphone today, but...
Well, anyway, this is a great show. The gang is back together again.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, the gang. Am I in the gang?
You are.
You're in the gang.
You did pass your gang test.
All right. Rebecca, we decided, is the Coco host.
Coco.
So, folks, you can find us on Facebook.
Yes, you can.
You can find us on Twitter.
Oh, yes, you can.
You can find us on all sorts of things.
Best way is just go to the website, offstageonair.com. And you not only can you listen to us there, you can put your name in the little email me, and the episode will arrive each week in your mailbox.
Yep.
Shazam, we're there.
Shazam, just like that.
You don't have to go looking for us. We'll come looking for you.
You can also get us on the iTunes podcast thing, and soon to be on... whatever that other thing that I signed up for, and I can't remember what it is. Google Play.
Play.
So while we're here at this stopping point, this is probably a good time, to announce. Never mind. I'm going to do that on Backstage at Offstage. There'll be a special ground floor theater announcement.
Okay, then.
If you're listening on the podcast, and you should be listening on the
podcast.
Absolutely. Because you miss all the really good stuff. We learn about our guests, about their lives, and what brought them into theater on our Backstage at Offstage
section. It's good time.
Yeah. So, Nicole Shiro, you have a moment to praise Hugh or whoever else you'd like to praise before we go off the air.
Well, you know, I went to Hugh on Tuesday, and then I went to the world premiere opening of Immortal Longings by Terrence McNally on Thursday. It was a really great week, and man, we are so blessed to have someone of Terrence McNally's caliber still creating new work and art. The whole play is about art, love, relationships, torture, the process of art, and And wow, I mean, just so cool. Very special.
We're hoping to get those guys on the show here next week to talk about the show. Immortal Longings is at Zach Theater, zachtheater.org for more information.
Yes. So
okay, that's it.
That's good times, and I'm going to head up to New York and go see some shows.
When are you going to New York?
I'm going to try to go in the next week or two. I'm trying to figure out when I can take a day or two off. I'm going to get some Frankie and Johnny and Hadestown in.
Can you take Joshua with you?
I mean, I'll probably want to see some shows from a distance.
I can fit you in my suitcase. We'll just
I can tell
you
what you're not going to go see.
Cher show.
Yeah. You're not going to say that. Anyway,
nope.
We got to go. If you're listening on the terrestrial radio, Austin Monitor News is next. If you're listening on the podcast, and you should be, we'll have Backstage at Offstage where we'll learn a lot more about these wonderful folks. So we're going to go away with a show by Andrew Lippa called The Man in the Ceiling. Have you heard of this show?
He just wrote some music for Capital City Gay Men's Chorus and came to perform with them.
Yeah, I know that, but this is a show called The Man in the Ceiling.
Sorry, I got excited about Andrew Lippa.
Yeah, and that happened about 3 weeks ago, I think. Yeah. Anyway, this is called Kidding Around.
It's nothing personal, it's nothing that you did, but I can't have you guys around.
Oh, that's just crazy, crazy.
Well, the curtain has just come down on, oh, I know that show, the musical.
But I've never seen it.
The story of a young man who has seen every single show on Broadway, but has never seen any shows on Broadway.
You know, it's a true story.
It is.
It's a heart-to-heart.
Not to take away from your audience, Lisa, but I think you and I would like to be a part of that because I'm just going to tack myself onto that because I think it's a great concept. Need your own podcast.
There you go. Well, here, joining us backstage, we've come out the backstage door. We are standing here by the dumpsters. I apologize for the smell.
It's not that bad.
And joining us here is Eva McQuaid. Hi, hello. Eva.
Hello.
Joshua Sanchez.
Hello.
And Mr. Robert King Jr.
Hello.
Huh. Maybe that's why that say something again in that microphone.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah. Oh, now say something in that microphone.
Hello.
There you go.
There it is.
You know, I've just learned something. In order for microphones to work, you need to turn them on.
Not funny.
Well, welcome to Backstage, everybody. I know, Eva, you've been back here.
I have been back
here. It's been a while.
Robert, though. Have you been back here?
I normally have to go to work by the time
I have
to get back here.
Well, so Robert, who I like to call Bob.
Bobby King.
Where'd you come from? Are you from Austin?
I'm not from Austin.
No, you don't sound like you're from Austin.
He's from California.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
I am from... No,
I have something in my mind. Let's see if I'm right. Go.
I'm from Victoria, Texas.
Oh, no.
Wait, where did you think I was from?
A little further east. I was thinking Louisiana somewhere.
Oh, wow. I've never got that before.
Yeah, I was thinking a little bit of Louisiana.
Thought I had that.
So you're from Victoria, Texas. And actually, I grew up in Houston.
Beautiful.
And Highway 59 in Houston, it says Victoria on the sign. Yep. And I always assumed that Victoria was just like not too far away from Houston. But it is very far away from Houston.
Well, it's not very far. And you look at
you're on the
Texas.
Yeah,
Texas.
Well, not
2 hours.
Yeah, that's
two
far.
2 hours is not very far.
Well, it depends on your thinking. I was thinking it was 10 miles away. It's very far. If I was thinking it was 2,000 miles away, it's pretty damn close. So you grew up in Victoria.
I grew up in Victoria, Texas.
Did you? What brought you into theater or performing?
What brought me into performing?
It was not a trick question.
I know it wasn't. But I feel like I get asked this question all the time. Actually, I started writing in Victoria and I wanted to move to a city where I could do my craft on a bigger scale. Victoria was great for a great launching pad, but I needed to move to a bigger city.
I feel like they're very supportive of the arts. Everybody's kind of a little creative in their own way in Victoria. It's an interesting small town.
Right, yeah.
Never been there.
We're talking about Victoria, Texas?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you, Eva. I was going, doesn't make a bit of sense to me.
One of my college professors called it Hictoria. I just want to make sure we're talking about okay, that's fair.
Don't talk bad about Victoria. Okay.
So would you call Victoria a cosmopolitan type of small town?
Mm-hmm.
Would I like it?
No.
It's really eclectic. That's just
it. Really
it. It's
is.
Not like one normal small town. It's just the small town people that are there exactly. forever, and that's all. And Victoria has a whole different group of folk.
So this is, I'm learning so much about Nicole about this. I had no idea she was such a Victoria expert.
So my father dated a woman who was from Victoria, Texas for years, and her mom lived there. And she has this giant house that was like a tree. We called it the tree house because she built this house like in the tree.
Oh,
that would make it a treehouse.
Yes.
Which is probably a good reason to call it a treehouse.
But it's not really kind of like when you're like, I'm going to go visit someone in the tree. She lives in a treehouse. It doesn't, you know. So I ended up spending some time in Victoria meeting some really amazing, crazy characters. But, yeah.
No. Okay. So you grew up in Victoria.
Yes.
And did you go to college?
I did not.
Okay. And did you come straight from Victoria to here?
I did. So actually,
well, you sound very disappointed.
I said, yeah. I didn't.
Sadly, I
didn't.
No,
it's because
like, oh, didn't oh, choose
I'm so
Austin.
Sorry,
I'm
you had to go to Austin.
Did you
from
get
Victoria.
Stuck here and not
no,
choose
I
here?
No, I love Austin. I think Austin is very diverse.
When you live in a very cool urban center
Victoria,
like Victoria,
yeah, you don't
why would
ever
you
leave?
Want to go to Austin?
Why?
Honestly,
and it's funny because when my dad comes here, he's like, "I got to come to Austin and go back home." But my dad kind of talks about Austin. Like, I don't think my dad likes Austin very much. I will say that. I don't understand what it is about Austin.
Sometimes parents have problems with
yeah,
Austin.
Yeah, they just don't. They see it as it's too much going on. My dad always says, my son lives in the city. He's a city boy.
The hip-hop and stuff.
So when you were in Victoria, when did you come from a musical family? Is your entree into theater from singing or from theater?
It's a little bit mix of both. My dad sings, my mom writes. Mm-hmm. So it kind
okay.
of, the two got married, and I'm the product of that.
So you sing and write.
I sing and write.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, that is cool. And so when did you find your way to here to Austin? How long have you been here?
2008.
And okay, now you're going to make me do math. That's 11
over
years.
10 years.
Yeah.
I moved to with Charlotte Brooks, actually.
Okay.
You know Charlotte.
I'm just going to say yes.
Yeah. Yes. She's with the Kidney Foundation.
We oh, right, yes. Yes. You said you know Charlotte. Yes. You will find that I forget people as soon as I'm terrible. I've got face blindness. Joshua, you have face blindness, don't you?
Here's the best part.
Yes, I do.
She
I do.
Looked on for a test to take a test yeah. online to see if she actually had face blindness.
I did.
For
true.
Real. It's true story.
There's a real
thing?
For
it is a, it is a real thing. Face blindness is indeed a real thing.
Google
it.
I
is
kid
a,
you not.
It's got another name, a syndrome, and there is indeed a test for it.
Is it I meet too many people to remember all of them?
No.
Something in your brain doesn't compute to
there
remember.
There was, it's not what really wanted me to talk about here, but I saw it on TV, on a news magazine, where this guy, if his wife did change clothes, she would have to reintroduce herself to him every day, just about. Because he couldn't recognize her. And it's a real thing.
Wow.
Joshua, where are you from?
I am from Austin. Here.
Texas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You grew up here. What school did you go? What high school did you go to?
I went to McCallum Fine Arts Academy.
Fine Arts Academy.
Oh,
so
nice.
I don't have to ask you if you did theater in high school.
Oh, no. I did theater.
You don't look like you graduated all that long ago.
Oh, no. I graduated 2017.
So did you ever participate in a show that was in the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards?
I did
or
not.
Or Gatsmata?
I did not do Gatsmata, sadly.
Oh. Okay.
But I was much more like a straight play kind of person.
Okay.
Rather than musicals.
Okay. Do you not do musicals?
I mean, I do musicals. They're fun okay. to do.
Joshua can sing. Don't let him lie to
okay,
you.
Okay, look here. it's not my most profitable thing to do. But I do a lot of straight plays. I do love plays.
So you graduated high school 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What are your plans from this point forward?
Oh, I'm in college right now.
Uh-huh. Here at UT?
I was at UNT, uh-huh. University of North Texas.
Well, that's my alma mater.
Oh.
Except it wasn't UNT back then. It was the North Texas State University, NTSU.
That's what my dad calls it.
Yeah, NTSU. Your dad is correct.
Yes. And then now I'm transferring into Texas State in San Marcus.
Oh, great.
So,
the Theater
all right.
School of South Texas.
Yes.
Right, which is like one of the top
in the program in the U.S.
in the United States.
States.
Oh,
wow. In both music and in straight plays. Mm-hmm. But I would encourage you to go there to take some musical theater classes.
Oh, I mean, of course.
Okay,
yes.
Especially if your plan is to go to New York someday, you need to be a triple threat.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Dancing
I
and act.
Agree with you, Lisa
yeah.
Sheps.
Yeah,
I agree with
so
you.
So how was it? So so we probably performed in the same theater. At NTSU.
Is it still the same space?
I believe it's the same. Is it the same? Is it an old theater? Dressing rooms downstairs in the basement?
Well, UNT has their own, like, theater. They have, like, the main theater. I forgot what it's called.
That's the one I would be speaking of, the main theater. Circular stairways down to the basement where the dressing rooms were and the costume shop? Nope. Okay, must be a different theater. Mm.
But yes.
So, well, that's exciting.
That's what happens in the future.
Yes. So do you fancy yourself totally a performer? Clearly you're directing this piece. Have you directed before?
I have not directed such a big production. Mm-hmm. I've directed like small vignettes, stuff like that, but never to like a big production like this. And so it's a very daunting task.
Is that something you want to explore more of, your directing?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Do you write?
I'm trying to.
I'm going to say his face kind of lit up with all the excitement. Yes, definitely. Yeah. So you had a spark of some.
Well, they also have a wonderful directing program at Texas State as well, run by Chuck Nye.
One of the reasons why I was going to go to Texas State because they have like an African-American Latino playwright conference there.
Oh, okay.
And so I really do want to get part of that. And so it's like I do love acting, but once I started to figure out like directing and playwright, that's like the behind the scenes stuff. That's where you get to control the actors. And that's the pretty fun part for me.
There you go.
I've been on the other side. I've been acting, and it's fun. But you know, I would love to like direct people. You know. Create something of my own and put it out there.
We are looking forward to the day that we talk about you when on our Tony and our Tony discussions.
Wrap up.
Just don't let it be bad. Make sure it's good stuff.
good or bad. I'm still on there.
Eva, you did a one-woman show. Are you doing a one-woman show?
I am doing a one-woman show.
So that's exciting. I loved when I read that you had not done that before, and that was an exciting...
So funny. I had thought you had done one before, and then I was like, what? This is really her first one?
It's really my first one.
Well, you have a large personality, and you do so much around town, and you run the gamut from comedy to more serious stuff. Do you sing?
No,
yes, you do sing, because you want to audition for Next to Normal.
I do. I love to sing, but nobody ever casts me in musicals.
Okay. Do you audition for them? That would be one of the things.
I have auditioned for them in the past. Okay. I think for the most part, though, I tend to go for straight plays because my confidence level and, you know, once you get turned down a lot, it's hard to get your confidence and energy to get back up to go and audition for musicals.
That's true.
So that's the story for performers in general. There's it's the majority of what you deal with is rejection with the odd pieces of acceptance. So how is that for you? How do you battle that?
I go home and I eat some French fries usually in my tub and I cry a little bit and then I get over it. And mostly it doesn't happen unless it's for like a dream role. Like since I've lost the role of Tracy Turnblad at least 11 times. I feel, you know, and one of them I got really close, I thought, but maybe not. But
well, and now you're kind of aging out of that. No offense, but.
Yeah, I was like, wait, a reminder.
No,
that's okay. We could be writing a show, you know, where you do the unscripted and switch roles, and she could be Tracy Turnblad on
that.
That's true.
I take it all back. That was not a nice thing to say. I apologize.
Now you've aged out of it.
Stealing children's dreams. No, you know
I said kind of.
She's like, no, it's true. I think. I mean, it's true. I agree. Although, however, Marissa Jarrett Wenoker was 31, I believe, when she originated the role on Broadway.
Really?
I believe she was.
Well, and Andrea Zuckerman was in her 30s in high school in 90210.
Look at that.
Remember?
Right there.
Come
yes,
on.
Let's talk about that and how, yeah.
She's obsessed with 90210.
Because I grew up with it. Not the junk y'all watched a few years ago. Original stuff.
Yeah. Later, let's talk about the reboot of 902.
Yeah, let's not.
I said later. I will say, though, I think it's interesting. So this play, I'm really grateful to Shannon for asking me to do the show because, and you know, because you saw it last weekend, there's a lot of dark moments in this play. And I'm really grateful to be exploring that and in the character, but also in myself. Since it's a one-person show, it's... And I feel very connected to Megan, the playwright and the character in the play. It's really wonderful to have that opportunity because I think a lot of people expect me to do a lot of comedy, and I think a lot of people have seen the like press photos and they know me and they're like, oh, it's gonna be hilarious. But there's some darkness.
I got dark. I got like, the first time I saw it, I was like, this is out of the box. And for you, not out of the box in general. I guess it is if you look.
It
you
is.
You too. But it got me a little, it got me excited. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Came out good.
And so remind us where you grew up.
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio. So
it's where I'm gonna. It's where I'm gonna go see Hugh.
I heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Houston.
But not in Houston.
No. I don't know where he's going to be in San
Antonio.
Probably at the AT&T Center, no?
He is at the AT&T
That's too bad. He should be at the Majestic because it's a beautiful theater. But anyway.
It's probably it doesn't too small.
Work with it's too
the,
small.
It's too small. It doesn't work with the arena and the passerelle he has built out.
There you go.
That
you need
a passerelle. Fancy word.
Yeah.
Passerelle.
Passerelle.
Passerelle is that little walkway usually over the
orchestra. It's en
français,
like the Moulin Rouge. Oui.
I'm so excited about that musical. So.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that today, but it was... we were going to talk about it. So it is going to start performances very, very soon. And it's
they're still in previews? Oh, goodness.
No, they haven't even started previews yet. Wow. About to,
they
about
were
to
in Boston. That's why you're thinking, like, what happened. But that was... last summer.
Yeah. So we are plumb out of time, but before we go, I do want to clarify things for the people in the audience. Ground Floor Theater is producing a Deaf Inclusive Next to Normal. Auditions can be found on our website, groundfloortheater.org/auditions. We are casting all roles, both deaf and hearing. We're double casting. So some people have thought that some of the characters were only looking for one actor who was deaf. And other characters were looking for one actor who was hearing, but we are actually casting all roles doubly. So
We want both.
So groundfloortheater.org. Thank you guys for joining us backstage.
Yeah.
And again, I do apologize for the dumpster smell, but it's what we got.
It's okay. It's like nature.
Just wafting.
Nature.
It's nature. All right. See you guys.
Have a good morning, Baltimore.